All right, hello and welcome to another Expert Inside interview. My name is John Golden from Sales Pop, online sales magazine and Pipeliner CRM, joining you as usual from sunny San Diego. And today I'm delighted to be joined from all the way across the pond, as they like to say here, by Reggie James, who is in Surrey, which is just outside of London. How are you doing, Reggie?
I'm doing very well, John. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. I've heard a lot about your show, so delighted to be on here. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Reggie's a distinguished expert in marketing and digital strategy, renowned for driving transformative results for organizations with over three decades of experience. He's the founder of Digital Clarity. Reggie leads a pioneering consultancy that empowers businesses to achieve their marketing goals. And what we want to talk about today is the actual evolution of digital marketing, you know, lessons from a pioneer such as Reggie. And Reggie, let's dive straight into it, right? Everybody thinks they know what digital marketing is today, but it's interesting for you to go back and see where it came from and whether people really understand where it is today and where it's heading.
Sure. If I sort of start at the beginning, my history was very much in the print ad space. Mm-hmm. And when the dot-com sort of boom happened, a lot of the business models that were very much around the CPM models, so companies like Yahoo, AOL, etc., they had huge amounts of traffic and a lot of people didn't know how to monetize them. So the chaps and chapesses that actually knew how to monetize that kind of traffic were the ad sales guys and girls. So they knew all about CPMs, cost per mille, that rather than using airtime, they could actually use page impressions to actually charge per thousand. And that's how the models that we have today started. That evolved into when search came along, into using pay-per-click models. And then there was a sort of hybrid of the two. And that's really the two core areas. And digital marketing was really a way of actually outsourcing your marketing to an organization that could actually manage those campaigns for you. They were dedicated into learning about analytics, understanding how many clicks, what happened post-click, where people go once they click on an ad, etc. Mm-hmm. Both on display ads as well as search ads. So that's advertising and digital marketing back in the early days. It's evolved a hell of a lot since then, and it's evolved really as customers have evolved. Mm. And a lot of it has been driven by the change in buyer behavior. We work very much in the B2B space, so we have seen a huge shift in terms mm-hmm. of how B2B buyers engage, how the user journey has changed, and how digital marketing per se is, you know, if you're a company looking to hire, for want of a better word, a digital agency, it's very, very difficult because the market, and I hate to say it, is hugely commoditized, mm-hmm. very mainstream. A lot of people purport to say a lot of things but don't actually deliver. And it's, as I say, it's very hard for people to differentiate the good guys from the also right. around, if you like. Mm-hmm. And some of that's experience, some of that's, you know, it's a whole variety of different things.
Right.
We sit in the middle, if you like, John. So we are very much about strategy. We're very much about, we don't do any of these sort of ad campaigns or anything like that. And
right.
we start with a very different start point. So we're trying to change the model to try and help companies think differently, pivot a few degrees and actually think about what they're actually doing, actually create a strategy. Most people don't have a strategy. They have a plan, which is not mm-hmm. a strategy, which normally when we interrogate that is normally a kind of to-do list.
Yeah.
And we help them think differently and actually think about who they are, who they serve, create some value propositions and a whole variety of other things.
Yeah.
So that's how it's evolved a lot.
Yeah. So because today, Reggie, as you said, I mean, it's become rather commoditized and it's almost become this, it's almost become this circular thing, is where, you know, companies get, you know, startups get investment, investment goes to marketing agencies, the investment goes into Google AdWords and all of that. And now with so many different ways and platforms and places that you can be, people then start, you know, they start going, well, you need to be on this platform, you need to be on that platform, you need to be here. And before you know it, all your money's gone. and you're not showing much results.
That I hear that a lot. That's quite typical of both well-funded startups and companies who are actually fairly well established. So, you know, some of the changes that we've seen is that, you know, people used to say that data was the new oil. Reality is that attention is really the new oil. That's what people are after. In that commoditized space, there's a lot of noise. And how do you cut through the noise? How do you, how does this convergence of marketing and sales, this whole new hybrid kind of way, you know, I've heard the term RevOps being used quite a lot in organizations. There's a lot of, you know, buzzwords that fly around from ABM to GTM, go to market. It's a whole host of things. When you distill that, one of the biggest changes that we've seen, and certainly I've seen over my long years in the market, is the return to brand. It's the one thing that's making successful companies stand out. You know, there's a lot of wonderful lead generation techniques, and there's a lot of demand generation techniques, but ultimately, unless you're changing how you're measuring success, unless you're changing the way you look at brand, because sometimes brand is all you have that differentiates why one company will choose you over the others. And really, one of the biggest things that we've seen alongside the return to brand and what the value is, you know, money's what you pay, value is what you get, is the need for companies to understand, i.e. companies that are selling to other companies, is that it's really the buyer that's actually making the decision, and the buyer is making their mind up passively before they even contact you. There's a great report by Gartner and a few other people. McKinsey have done another report about the continuous omnichannel, and they've done a huge amount of research alongside some of the data that we look at as well, that now a buyer will actually engage with you, but don't necessarily want to buy from you there and then. So if they download an ebook, if they ask for information from you, if they are sending you an email and saying, hey, we're interested in your technology stack or whatever it might be, the last thing you want to be doing is putting them on a prospect list and bombarding them with, hey, it's me. Yeah. You downloaded our thing. How can we help you? Never do that, because you're going to lose the client. All that prospective client, all that customer, prospective customer wants to do is learn. And what you should be doing is help educate them on who you are, help nurture that client, prospective client, into what you can do and the challenges you solve. And though it sounds simple, that's what you need to do. And I think it's summarized by LinkedIn's 95-5 rule, which very clearly states that 95% of buyers are not in play when they're engaging with you. Only 5% are.
Right.
What you want to be doing is educating that 95%. When once you realize who your customers are, and believe you me, a lot of businesses don't. They're going after everyone. Yeah. And that's really what we help distill. We help filter out all the fluff. We help our customers understand, and really, as I say, use that terrible pivot to actually understand who they are, why they should be the ones, and then create those touch points to help those customers find them and build that value.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things I wanted to come back to on what you just said there, Reggie. You know, the first thing is you know, return to brand, and I think that's an often misunderstood thing. You know, what does brand actually mean today? I mean, there's still people who believe, you know, brand is just your logo and your colors or whatever, and in your tagline. So just go back and explain, like, return to brand. What are the essential components of a brand?
That is a fantastic question. If we take a step back a little bit, normally conversations within organizations are things like, and this is the broad church of brand, what is the name of our company? What is the name of our product? Mm-hmm. How do we want to come across? Who are our customers? What do our customers think of us? Or how do we want our customers to feel? How do we want our prospective customers to feel? How do people view us? How do people think of us? All of those come under that umbrella of brand. And brand is really the essence of who you are. I think somebody summed up by saying, it's what people say about you when you're not in the room.
And that is
when you have a strong brand. And under that brand, you've got all these different components, things like value propositions. You know, it's not just a value proposition for your company, but it has to be a value proposition for absolutely every single aspect of your department. So that when we are working with our clients, one of the strongest areas we focus on is looking at, before you get to the essence of your brand, you have to understand all the different components of what makes your brand. So what is it you do? What is it you do well? What is the value that you add? All the experience, all those things. And then distill that into a level of messaging, a level of positioning, a level of niche, sometimes niching down on a niche. Mm-hmm. So you become very focused. And from that, you start to see, you see these kind of eureka moments when, you know, when you're sitting in a room or on a Zoom call, as you have nowadays, and yeah, people sort of see, you can almost hear the penny dropping when people say, hey, we're not that thing at all. We're actually more this. And we're helping guide them because they're really discovering who they are. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very, almost, dare I use the word spiritual, but as you're in California, I'm sure I can use that. But it is a real epiphany kind of moment when people actually realize that they've been going that way.
Yeah.
And really what they should have been doing is going that way. Mm-hmm. And when they actually speak to their customer said, yeah, we didn't really want all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. We needed this bit. Yeah. And that's where, why brand is becoming more and more of a thing, an important thing. But you can't have a brand without having a strategy.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like the most successful companies make it look very easy. They're like icebergs. You know, you only see the successful, but you don't see the all of that mass of stuff underneath, or the swan gliding along and not seeing the paddling and all the other bits.
Paddling furiously,
all of those bits. Absolutely, yeah. John. So, yeah.
The other thing you mentioned, because strategy, I think, is incredibly important, but you were mentioning about, you know, education and meeting, you know, buyers where they are and, you know, helping to educate them. And that is, and obviously over the last number of years with the whole inbound and all of that, I mean, it's become this whole thing about, oh, capture them, gated, you know, get them, then, you know, then just hammer them afterwards. And it's almost like, I mean, we all have this, it's funny how we all have this experience ourselves, but then we go into companies and we do the same things to other people. It's like, I just want some information. And then you put it in and suddenly, oh no, I'm blown up by just being bombarded. And you're just saying like, all I wanted was to learn a little.
Absolutely. I think when we go into companies, we know that they're stuck in very old traditional ways, not even old. Mm-hmm. I could probably use the word pre-pandemic days.
Yeah.
So it's very much about we've got to hit the numbers. It's where you've got to fill the pipeline. We've got to do all of these, you know, our CRM is saying this, we're using mm-hmm. Salesforce, we're using HubSpot, using all these things. We've got SDRs, we've got this whole thing. And one of the things I say is, if I get a group of directors in a room or I've got the chief revenue officer and the CMO in the room and the CEO and whoever else in the room, I always start with giving them a piece of paper or online, getting them to write down what your company does. Don't discuss it with anyone else. And then tell me what your goals are for the company. We have about four or five different questions to kick things off. Yeah. And when they turn that paper over, when they share that, you can bet your bottom dollar that every single thing that those five people give are completely different. And that's at the top of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their communication with each other. And of course, there's going to be different nuances in terms of, you know, if you've got a different function.
Sure.
However, fundamentally, you should know, there should be a central line in terms of what your company actually does. Because if sales thinks you do one thing, marketing thinks you do another thing, yeah. And the CEO's at the top of the pile thinking that they both know how things are. You know, George Bernard Shaw said that the challenge with communication is the belief that it's taken place.
Mm.
And we have an assumption that when we get very, very deep in this, because we get right under the skin of our customers, if they're open to it, because what we do is available to everyone, but it's not for everyone.
Right.
Because you've got to be willing to change. You can't be empire building in your organization where sales are down here and marketing is everywhere, and the twain should meet. But the reality of it is that if you are not engaging, it's an organizational thing. Marketing for us, and we talked about, you know, the evolution of marketing. Marketing is everything. FedEx changed the company around, even though we're B2B. FedEx is a great example where they realized that the guys and girls delivering and picking up the parcels and opening the door and bringing in the trash from outside and helping them and remembering your things. They were front of house. They were the brand.
Yeah.
They are what people see. So they're like, should we use that courier company when we're doing this? No, we're using FedEx.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we know it's when I use them, it's that guy that I see in this smart uniform with this baseball cap. I know it's going to get there because he brings stuff in. He helps, and he's smiling and he's there. And they changed the whole thing and everything else. And if you look at the FedEx brand, if you look at it very carefully, and you probably know this, I'm teaching you to suck eggs, you will see that there's an arrow forward, FedEx, very cleverly done. A bit like Amazon's A to Z, A, arrow, Z.
It's fascinating because that's the thing. I think that people often overlook that your brand is the tip of the spear is often your salespeople, it's your customer support people, it's the people who are directly engaging. And therefore, as you said, I mean, if you're getting one message when marketing's sending out one message, but your interaction with sales is you're getting a different one, you're getting a different one, customer service, obviously your interpretation of the brand is dependent on who you spoke to. It's funny you say FedEx, because also on UPS, you can't get a job like an executive role or anything like that in the company until you have to go, they say, wear the brown. You have to go out and actually deliver first. So you've got a certain period of time when you got to go out and deliver so you actually understand what it's like at the front line. But I think that's the thing that a lot of people are missing, is that the customer experience has many different touch points. And if you're not communicating a uniform message, then as I said, it's dependent on who you interact with.
Very much so. And I think you've hit a very, very strong point there, that there are numerous touch points for our customers, prospective customers the clients that we work with, to engage with. And it's really important that our clients understand what those touch points are, because you're never going to get a sale. It's understanding the essence of what their pain points are. I mean, these are very old-fashioned terms. Why do people buy? You're either going to solve a problem or create an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that various degrees in between. But again, distilling those things down, where does your product fit in to the customers that you're looking to serve? Again, Simon Sinek summed it up in Start With Why. It is still one of the most talked about and watched TED Talks.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is it's still so valid and so powerful today that if companies, if they don't understand why they exist, they're going to really struggle to get any sales message or marketing communication across internally as well as externally, and sometimes half the job is internally as well. Again, there's a perception that everyone's going to know what the company does.
Yeah,
the reality is somewhat different.
No, absolutely. And just a final point as well is, you know, we're hearing a lot about authenticity and all at the moment, right? And I love the thing about when people are going around saying, I teach you how to be authentic. I was thinking, wow, that seems pretty inauthentic to me, but hey, whatever.
I'm going to teach you how to be authentic.
Yeah.
5-point plan. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think that's a key element now. And you say, because you mentioned like pre-pandemic, I think it was already starting to happen as people wanted to reconnect. They wanted to understand who you are. They wanted to connect with humans. They wanted to feel that there was something authentic there. I think the pandemic accelerated that. And I think that's the key. One of the key elements now is if you're going to say you're something, you better be it.
Totally. Well, let's look at that. Merriam-Webster's word of the year 2023 is authentic. And it was one of the most searched for terms on Google and various other places. And the reason being is that we live in a world where AI, we've got deep fakes, we've got automation in lots of things going on. You know, I can sometimes see, you know, get these emails coming in or LinkedIn messages, which you just know they're on a sequence. They're not even thought through. And it's about, you know, just throwing stuff at the wall. Authenticity, genuine authenticity, can only be discovered if you understand who you are, if you understand what your company does, if you're honest about not only who you are, who you're not. As well. So you can really focus. And again, one of the key points of our 4-point program and the strategy that we help customers with, and it's really about helping and serving, is to guide people. This cannot be prescriptive. We can only help people. We can guide companies if they want to genuinely change, because change, people want the 6-pack, but they don't want to do the 6 months. They don't want to do the 6 months. They don't want to wake up at 5 a.m. and do the run. They don't want to go, you know, do the diet, you know, and it's that kind of thing that we tell our clients, listen, there's no quick fix here.
Yeah.
If you want a quick fix, you'll be doing this in 2 years' time.
Right.
Make the change now. You know, everyone goes to, it's great. I was listening to a great sales trainer the other day, and he's saying that you can go to university for learning so many things, and there's now even courses on AI and AI engineering. There is still, to this day, there is no sales university, and there is no, you know, not that you need a degree in it, but there's so many different aspects of sales and marketing that are so multidimensional that you can't just stick them into one kind of thing and just hope that it's going to work, because you're kind of
it's very true.
It's very true, and people are still doing it to this day, and they're actually putting a lot of their prospective customers off.
Damaging.
So authenticity, spot on, absolutely spot on, John. It is the number one thing, and you can't you've got to find your deep down and find the soul of the business and accentuate that, because once that shines, everything else will fall into place, and then all those different building blocks that we talked about will help. There's no point trying to run an ad campaign on LinkedIn with that before you, because your messaging will be all wrong.
And I think the worst feature LinkedIn has ever put, or in recent years, was that automated email reply. You know, when you get a request from somebody for connecting, and it's all lovely, personalized, and hey, and you think, oh, this is okay, fine, I'll connect with you, and then ping, it's a sales pitch comes automated, and I'm like, oh, okay, seriously,
unconnect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it is a very, very annoying thing, but that is the post pandemic area that we need a broom to sweep. The those things, the people who are being authentic, the people who are rebuilding and re-looking at who they are and what they do and why they do it, are the ones, you know, if you if you don't do it now, you know, you're going to regret, you know, you're going to regret it in 12 months time, believe you me.
Exactly.
Start that work now.
Yeah. It's that, that old one. What's the best time to plant a tree? Well, 20, 40 years ago. And the second best time is today. Is right now. Well, listen, Reggie, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing all those insights. All of Reggie's information is going to be below this video. But before we go, please do tell us a little more about you and your company.
Thank you very much again, John. It's been an absolute pleasure. So again, my name is Reggie James. You can type me into Google, or you can type me into LinkedIn. The company is Digital Clarity. We are based in London, but we operate globally. And we are a wholly owned subsidiary, get my teeth back in, of a public company called DBMM Group that trades on the OTC in the US. And and we are a marketing strategy consultancy. We help your business grow. We give you direction. And we have a very, very successful plan that's been honed over 30 years of experience. And that's who we are. So thank you again, John.
Yeah, fantastic, Reggie. Well, I would encourage you to go check out Reggie and Digital Clarity. As we were just talking, there's lots and lots and lots of ways you can lose a lot of money by just like spray and praying all over these platforms. So go get your strategy in place and go probably save you a ton of money in the long run.
Absolutely, John. Absolutely. Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks again, Reggie. Thank you for watching and listening, and I'll see you all again soon.
Been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.